You have your Bibles, if you'll open them to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Our lesson comes this evening from verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. On the sixth day of creation, after God created everything else, He formed man from the dust of the ground. The pinnacle of creation, the reason for the creation, was the last part of creation, that of mankind, fashioned and formed and put together, the image of a man from the very dust of the ground. But it was just a body until God breathed life into man and made him a living being. The very breath of God entered into man. Some call that the spirit of man, but however you understand it, it was at that moment that man became a living being. We find another account that is difficult for some to understand, and we find that in John chapter 20. It was just after the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus came to his disciples. And the Bible records in verse 22 that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." A life force that helped bring about the creation, the breath of God upon these men in that upper room, and their lives were transformed. As we find in the book of Acts in chapter 2 on that day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon them in power. It is here that I want to go to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. As Paul speaks in this chapter about the trials of this life and how evil abounds, he takes Timothy back to his earliest teachings, the teachings from his mother and grandmother, those teachings that came from the Scriptures. Now, when Paul takes Timothy back to Scriptures, he describes Scriptures with a word that is only used in this passage. We translate that word as inspired, or we can take it to the Greek and it actually has a two-part meaning. God breathed. Scripture is and brings life. It is the source we go to in the times of our trials and our struggles. The Hebrew writer, he puts it this way in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. A scripture verse that is very familiar to many, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Just as God breathed life into Adam, just as Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit onto the apostles, all Scripture is breathed by God. The book you hold in your hands, or the words that you read on your electronic devices, is far more than just words. They are the very breath of God. And if it is within that idea that we come to this section in 2 Timothy, Paul, in this chapter, he starts to take Timothy down memory lane, if you will. Imagine Timothy reading this letter and what Paul is writing. Timothy begins to smile because it brings back to him some very good memories. In verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness." And yes, we can go right on back into the book of Acts, and we can find Timothy being at Paul's side many times. Timothy was not only a witness to that life of Paul, but Timothy also participated in many of the events of Paul. And here it is where Paul reminds Timothy that he followed Paul's teaching and his conduct, his aim, his faith, his patience, and his steadfastness. Here's the important part. Timothy saw how a Christian life is lived. It was not just taught in theory. He saw a man. He worked side by side with a man who is the epitome of a Christian. But Paul continues, verse 11. And I'm pretty confident that Timothy's memory is also going back to this part. Because Paul said here to Timothy, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul reminds us that Christian life is not good times and fellowship meals. There are days, just as they were in the days of Paul, of pain and suffering. Life was put on the line. And I guess that many times, there were many times where Timothy didn't even know where his mentor was dead or alive. The summary of Paul's life we find in the very next two verses, in verses 12 and 13. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, Paul's, it's kind of like he's saying, cheer up. Things could get worse. And so you cheer up. And sure enough, things get worse. Life isn't fair. Bad things happen to good people. Sometimes it seems that evil wins and that evil people prosper more than those who are righteous. But this trip that Paul takes Timothy down memory lane was for a purpose. He writes to Timothy reminding him of how he had been taught these things. He tells Timothy about how godliness can look like godliness, but that it has no power. But he has to remind Timothy here of his calling. And now he begins to end his letter to Timothy by telling how Timothy and us can live like Paul. In verses 14 and 15, Paul writes here, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I believe with all my heart that everyone sitting here today knows the truth. Many of you, some of you, have been raised in godly homes, with godly parents. But if you did not have that advantage, you have now come to know the truth of God. And it causes you to be here. You want to be here. You have chosen, whether recently or long ago, to walk on a different path. a path that is totally different from what the rest of the world is walking. Because you realize that those on a different pathway are going from bad to worse. But why do you believe what you believe? Why do you live like you live? Why are you saved? Well, let's finish the verses in 2 Timothy with verses 16 and 17. Some of you probably know these two verses by heart, but they always bear repeating. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That is the answer. Every Scripture that God breathed has God's purpose, every bit of it. There are some things written by people that they call it the Bible, but it's not the Bible. They may have left out some certain things. The New World Bible comes to mind because all reference of Jesus Christ as the Son of God is deleted. There's the Reader's Digest condensed version of the Bible that leaves out a whole lot. But they aren't God-breathed. Only Scripture breathed out by God can bring salvation to us and teach us how to live as Christians should live. You know, I've said before that many people, they misunderstand the letters that Paul and Peter and James and John them had written, and Jude. They think they can find salvation in those letters. And yes, I guess you can piece together certain things, but those letters were all written to Christians who have already obeyed. And in those letters, we find ways of changing from one life and metamorphosing into the Christian that God wants us to be. We see changes that we need to make. Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is useful, that it is all profitable. And he gives all the things that it can do, and all those things that Paul say encompasses just about everything in life. The Bible, simply put, is the pathway to life. It is the standard by which everything that we do and think and believe is measured. It is the standard in which we will be judged in the end. The Bible starts by teaching us about salvation, and then it molds us and continues to change us through its rebuking words and the corrections that we need to make in our sins in our life. And it continues to teach us how to live a holy life. And it is a lesson that continues to be learned until that day that we put the foot in the grave. And we walk through that other door. So I want to end tonight this lesson at the beginning of that process, teaching salvation. The very place to begin hearing God through the Bible is here to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the Bible and men at the time had put the Bible together and put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the very beginning. Because placing man's letters and things into the beginning would not have as much of an impact as beginning with the life of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip meeting up with an Ethiopian nobleman. This man was traveling back home from Jerusalem, and he was reading the scriptures, and in fact, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And in verse 31 of Acts chapter 8, the nobleman replied, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And beginning with that very scripture, Philip told him the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, if you were to open up and study the book of Isaiah, you see many things in there about Christ. His prophecy, how things were going to come about. And if the Jews had been paying attention, they would have seen all the signs. The Bible says that as they traveled along, they came to some water, and the nobleman in verse 36, he said, "Look, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And these very words of God led that man from simply reading a scroll of Isaiah to hearing God speak to him and lead him to a conviction that he needed to be baptized so that he may be in that covenant relationship with God. God speaks to us today much in the same way that he spoke to that Ethiopian nobleman through Scripture. We only have to allow that word into our hearts and manifest itself within us. And when we have trouble understanding Scripture, God has blessed us with people who understand things maybe a little bit more. Or maybe can explain things in a way that's easier for us to understand. They won't be teaching their understanding or their interpretation or thoughts, but they will help us to allow God to speak to us with his word. And God's word leads us to action. Has God spoken to you through his word? God's simple plan of salvation. You know, when God directed Noah to build the ark and gave him directions, it was kind of a complicated process. You can imagine how many times Noah had bent his arm on a board and measured out cubits and taking 100 years to build that ark. But by Noah's example of following God's direction, him and his family were saved. God simplified those instructions for us. We don't have to build some big boat. We don't have to jump through hundreds of hoops. We don't have to spend endless years in classes. But the simple plan of salvation, having explained to us the death, the burial, and the resurrection, what repentance and confession and baptism does for mankind. Repentance is our confession to God and our desire to change our life. And we're making a promise to God to change. Our confession is that we recognize the kingship, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is also the Son of Man. And then the burial in that watery grave to signify Jesus' burial in the tomb. Coming up out of that water as Jesus Christ did. Holy, sanctified. God's plan is very simple. And from the moment that come out of that water, God adds you to his wonderful church. And then together, we walk down this road, trying to lead to the very best of our abilities that faithful life. There will be struggles along the way. And there are going to be pitfalls. We're going to stray off that path. But God has also given us a way back on. Through repentance and confession, Christians can come back to God. If that is your desire tonight, to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of your sins, or maybe you just need to come back to God, something in your life that has caused a barrier between you and Him, you need the prayers of the congregation for whatever means and reason. Please come as together we stand and we sing.